This is Morning Edition on New England Public Media. I'm Carrie Healy. The pandemic has exposed long-term deficiencies in mental health care for children and teens. These include a shortage of youth psychiatric hospital beds and a bureaucratic system that's difficult for parents to navigate. In the third and final story in our series this week on youth mental health, New England Public Media's Ben James looks at why there are so few child therapists.
We are parents with lived experience raising a child with a mental health challenge.
Gretchen Amand is a family support therapist and co-director of the Support Network, which assists families in the difficult task of navigating the mental health system. Anna De La Rosa is one of Amand's clients.
I wouldn't even know where my mind would be if I did not call this woman and say, I'm losing my mind. Could you give me advice really quickly so I can just take a deep breath and just go, you know, the next few hours.
Amand played a critical role in advising De La Rosa as she raised her now grown children, both of whom struggled with mental health issues. And that might have been the culmination of their relationship if De La Rosa's three great nieces hadn't suddenly needed her to become a parent all over again.
And here I go. I stepped up with DCF. I took over and I am guardian of the children to the A team. Three beautiful little girls, 12, 7, and 2. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Now, these girls have been traumatized.
De La Rosa is careful not to share too much of her niece's stories, but the outcomes of their experiences are severe.
It's maximum depression, anxiety, panic attacks,
PTSD.
ADHD.
A 2019 study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that 7.7 million U.S. children had a treatable mental health disorder, but only half were being seen by a mental health professional. One reason? A long-term shortage of child therapists. Anna De La Rosa has come up against this shortage numerous times.
Getting a therapist for the girls and home group therapy. It took them a very long time to get back a hold of me.
Long as in a year.
I just felt like a bit overwhelmed, you know, like I wasn't getting the services I needed.
Amand says overwhelmed parents trying to figure out the mental health bureaucracy, it's a bad combination.
It's very complicated, and we tell parents all the time, if you are on a wait list, you need to call frequently. Because for some reason, your name will disappear from that wait list. Nobody should be on a wait list for a year for any service.
The shortage of pediatric psychiatrists is especially acute, although it depends where you live. The American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatrists says for every 100,000 children, there should be at least 47 child psychiatrists. In Western Mass, only Hampshire County meets that threshold. Hampden County's rate is less than a quarter of the recommended level. Statewide, Massachusetts has among the highest rates in the country, yet still falls short. Amanda Harrison is director of the Children's Clinic, part of Cutchin's Programs for Children and Families in Northampton. She says the shortage of child mental health care providers, that's psychiatrists as well as therapists, has numerous causes, most of which come down to money.
It comes back to reimbursement, a fair reimbursement for the work that people are putting in. And that really does get driven by the insurance companies.
Picture your average adult therapist. They see their client once a week and bill insurance for the visit. Now consider the role of the child therapist, who's in frequent consultation not only with their kid client, but also with the kid's parents and teachers, and maybe their special education provider or their speech pathologist. All those extras are called collateral, and Harrison says frequently the therapist is not reimbursed by insurance companies for collaterals.
When you sort of divide out, okay, insurance paid us for 1 hour, but 2 hours of work went in, they really are working for less money.
In Northampton, Cutchins uses a grant from the United Way to help cover staff time on collaterals, but many children's clinics and child therapists do the work for less pay. Some simply can't do all the work that's required for quality care. The impact of this is enormous, Harrison says, because treating kids early makes a difference.
If we're able to treat younger, we have healthier adults. We have more engagement in community. We have less likelihood of repeating the cycles of trauma and addiction. But you have to have the folks who can provide the services to the kids.
Harrison says burnout is frequent in her profession, not only because the work of child therapists is undervalued, but also due to the level of exposure therapists have to their clients' trauma.
At the end of the day, we're human beings working with other human beings. And as much as we can have professional training to leave it at work, the reality is we have a very taxing and draining job.
Many agencies have high turnover rates among their staff. Even after Anna De La Rosa found therapists for her nieces, communication was spotty, and she was never certain who would show up. Here again is Gretchen Imond from the Support Network.
When a child knows that every Wednesday at 3 they're going to meet with their therapist, and then they're gone, and we don't know why, that's not very therapeutic.
In a system where the necessary care is hard to find, it falls on parents and guardians to hold everything together. This was true before the pandemic, and all the more so now. Anna De La Rosa recently took a leave from her job as a personal care assistant to be home for her nieces.
I just found it that mentally and emotionally, they needed me here. So I had to make a choice. So I had to apply for assistance in October.
It's hard to tell who De La Rosa worries over more, her 12-year-old suffering from panic attacks, or the middle child, whose extreme ADHD has recently put the family's housing situation at risk.
I don't think she has control over that, so I am scared of losing my place to live, because I know that could happen, because it's too much noise.
It doesn't help that in the past year, the kids have been home most of the time. De La Rosa says sometimes after a mad burst of energy, the middle child comes and sits in her lap.
She'll come over to me after a little bit, and she'll ask me, could I ask you something about Papa Dios? That means Father God. And I said, sure. And I said, what do you want to ask? And she said, I need to ask him if he can help me stay still and stop shaking and jumping everywhere.
They've developed a routine. In addition to taking her medication, the child will sometimes shake off her excess energy and, in her words, give it to De La Rosa.
She really believes. She'll come up, hug me, shake it off. Now you have it, and I give it all to you, Nana. Go ahead, go clean the house. Do what you gotta do.
The shortage in child therapists didn't start with the pandemic, and the number of kids in the ER for mental health emergencies was on the rise even before March 2020. The pandemic has only made these conditions worse. But somewhat to my surprise, the parents I spoke with for this series each expressed a sense of hope. They say the pandemic's exposure of deficiencies in mental health care could lead to a growing awareness, even an urgency, about what it will take to truly care for the mental health of our kids. For New England Public Media, I'm Ben James.